أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل فإن خير ما يتزود به العبد هو تقوى الله ثم نقول When we begin, brothers and sisters in Islam, to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Qur'an. From the beginning of the Qur'an, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, to the very last ayat in the Qur'an, Min al-jinnati wal-nas. We'll find between these two ayats of the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Between them, Allah Ta'ala has spoken about many important issues. Allah Ta'ala has given us many messages. The message of the importance of Al-Aqidah. The message of Al-Tawheed. The message of Al-Jihad, fi sabilillah. The message of the importance of Al-Sidq, truthfulness. The message of Al-Adl, Al-Zulm, Al-Wala, Al-Bara. And no doubt, any time that we come before the Muslims, all of these issues are appropriate to talk about. From the many messages of the Qur'an, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us about, and He shows the importance that Al-Islam places upon this issue, is the issue of being balanced. The issue of being in the middle course. And when we say being balanced and in the middle course, Do not let any of you focus upon being balanced only in the deen. The hadith of the three companions who went to the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him about his ibadah and asked him about how he was with them. And one of them said, as for me, I'll never stop praying. I'll pray all night long. The other one said, I'll fast all the time. The third one said, I'll never marry women. Do not let your minds go to this issue alone. For verily the balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Qur'an, the middle course that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Qur'an, relates to every aspect of your life. To be balanced with your wife, to be balanced with your brother, to be balanced with the masjid, to be balanced in every single affair of yours. Some of us have gone astray and we've lost this middle course. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the very first surah of the Qur'an, showing us the importance of this balance. When the Muslim prays five times a day, every single day, he says, اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ Guide us on the صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ The صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ that is straight. It has no crookedness in it, to the right or the left. And do not guide us to the way of those who you are angry with and those who go astray. The ones who you are angry with being the Jews. They were once on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. They were once balanced, but they went astray. When they started to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was faqir, and they were aghniya. When Allah ordered them to give sadaqah, when Allah ordered them to give in the cause of Allah, they said, we are rich, and this is why Allah is telling us to give to Him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, antum fuqara ila Allah. You are the poor ones. They went off the Sirat al-Mustaqim when they assassinated the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they took the book of Allah and they changed what it was saying. Then we have the Jews or the Christians on the other hand, who simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Isa without the intercession of a man, they say he's Ibn Allah. They said he was the son of Allah from the middle course to going astray. Allah ta'ala tells them in the Quran, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ فَقَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Verily the example of Isa to Allah is like the example of Adam. He created him from dirt. He created him from nothing. And he said, be and he is. Be and it was. So now, ikhwan, we find this ayat clearly showing us the importance of being balanced in the middle court. In another ayat of the Quran is Surah Al-Furqan. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives us the description of the believers. And He gives us a series of ayat in which He describes those who believe, those who are His servants. And He said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنَ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمَ الْجَاهِلِيُّ قَالُوا سَلَامًا إلى أن قال الله تعالى والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما. And the worshippers of Allah, the servants of Allah, of Ar-Rahman, are those who walk on the earth in humility. And when the ignorant people address them and talk to them, they say to them, Salam, I have no time for this kalam. And they are the ones who when they spend out of their wealth, they don't waste, nor are they stingy. But they are in the middle court. Another ayah. Allah Ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And for that reason we have made you people a ummah that is in the middle court. In all of your affairs, in the middle court, so that you may be witnesses over the people, and the messenger may be a witness over you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Ibn Hibban on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, in illustrating and showing us the importance of exceeding the limit to the right or to the left. The Prophet ﷺ said to you people, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِالْغُلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ. Beware of exceeding the limit. Beware of exceeding the limit in the religion. For verily those who went before you, they were destroyed because their excessiveness going outside of bounds. Exceeding the limit, meaning the Jews and the Christians that we just explained. So these ayahs that we've rehearsed to you, and this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, are a few of the many ayahs and hadith that tell us about the importance of staying in the middle court. Now we see that the Muslims, unfortunately, like the Jews and the Christians, they have gone outside of the middle court in the affairs concerning the deen and in the affairs concerning their dunya. So today we're going to talk about an aspect of going outside of the middle court that probably the majority of us are affected by it. And that is concerning the issue of this dunya. How have we left the middle court concerning the dunya? Here in this masjid, it's not uncommon for us to hear the personal problems of the Muslims, because they reach out and they need help. So we have situations where There are women, Muslims, who believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They fast in Ramadan and they truly believe that they're Muslim. This type of sister decides to work with the kuffar. And the kuffar tell her, you have to compromise your al-Islam. So in order to accomplish her goal that she set for herself in this dunya, she takes off her hijab. And she goes to work with the kuffar and for the kuffar. They say to her, if you want to work with us and you want to get money and you want to be in our dunya, then you have to take off your Islam, you have to take off your God, you have to act like we act. So she takes off her hijab. And we know if she takes off her hijab, it's impossible for her to pray. If salat time comes, there's no salat for the person who doesn't cover up their aura. She's gone too far off in the dunya. She's not balanced in the dunya. Allah Ta'ala created her, but she gives obedience to the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who also allowed this woman, his wife or his sister, to behave like that. To go to school and to mix with people who are haram for her. And she has to take off her hijab because she feels afraid. A dayus. So there's the other type of person, the brother, who also has a job with the kuffar. So the kuffar say to him, if you want to work with us, you have to be clean. And you have to put on an attire that we want you to put on. So he puts on the monkey suit. And then after that they say, in cleanliness in our society, in our minds is that you have to cut your beard. This is clean. So he has to cut his beard. Because of his dunya. He wants to get the dunya. So they say to him, we mushrikeen, we polytheists, we cut our beards because it's cleanliness. And they laugh at the brother. They may not necessarily laugh at him in front of his face. They may not necessarily laugh at him with their mouth. But their condition laughs at them. Hali saniyam yathak alayka ya Abdullah. Why? Because here he says this is his deen. This is his religion. But in spite of that, I'm Aziz and he's Valil. Allah told him to do that, he rejects that, and he listens to me. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the mushrikeen, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ النَّجِسِ. Bro, they're mushrikeen and najis. They're filthy, they're dirty. So he tells you, the beard is dirty when he himself is dirty, as Allah has established in the Quran. He laughs at you. And then he says, you can't go to Jum'ah neither. In spite of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you who believe, if the call is made for the day of the Salah for Jum'ah, come to the remembrance of Allah, come to the masjid, and leave off all forms of transaction, all business, leave it off. This is better for you if you only knew. And if the salah is done, the imam says, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, then go out and disperse in the earth and seek from Allah's bounty. And remember Allah much in the hope that you may be successful. So the man laughs at you, akhi, because you've been unbalanced in your affairs. Now, ikhwan, we find the Muslims doing such things because in most instances we have to have a good opinion of the Muslims. And we have to think that they do these things because they don't know what the reality of the dunya is. They haven't read the Quran, because many of us have made hijrah and we left the Quran. And we don't read the Quran. We read the newspapers more than we read the Quran. We read our mail more than we read the Quran. So if that's the case, of the many issues that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us about in the Quran, He has told us about the reality of the dunya. He has not created you like this and He left you alone like this. Allah tells us first in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْإِنسَ وَالْجِنَّ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. and I have not created the jinn and the mankind except that they worship. So this is the ghaya from your khalq. This is why Allah has created you. After knowing that you've been created for Allah and not for your job and not to eat and not to play sport and not to be a husband, Allah created you to be Abdullah, to worship Allah. After knowing this, what's the reality of the dunya that He's placed you in as a trial? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, when telling us about the reality of the dunya, He says, اعلموا إنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Allah ta'ala tells us, know for surety, O you people who have lost sight of the goal, know for surety that the example of this dunya, verily this dunya is only play and entertainment and glitter, and it's mutual bragging between you and searching for babies and searching for money. That's why we find that the kuffar say to one another, you have to know how to play the game if you want to be successful. You got to know how to play the game. They know it's a game. And this is why we give so much time to entertainment. The dunya is low. Entertainment is zina, glitter. I'm happy for the car that I have. I'm happy for the clothes that I wear. I'm happy for the carpet in my house, so forth and so on. And mutual bragging. How much money do you have in the bank? When you come around people who are less than you, in terms of the money, you're arrogant and haughty, and you feel proud. And when you come around people who are similar to you, you lie and make believe that you have more than what you don't have. You act like you have more than what you actually have. That's all the dunya is. Allah Ta'ala gives us a similar tool or an example when telling us about the haqiqah of the dunya. This dunya that's called a dunya from the verb dana, which means to be lost. It, when it was named because of that, because it's low. It's not befitting for the Muslim to stick his nails in it, to take it with his molars, and to act like this is the purpose. Allah Ta'ala tells us about the dunya when He says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرَفَهَا وَزَيَّنَتْ وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَن لَّمْ تَغْنِ بِالْأَمْسِ. Listen to this example that Allah tells you about this dunya. And then after that, tell me, is it worth it acting the way we act? Really, the example of this dunya is like the example of the rain that we send from the sky. When the rain comes down to the earth, it mixes with all of the produce on the earth, all of the vegetation on the earth. And after this mixing takes place, the earth sends forth its produce, and it becomes clad with beauty. Until the people who own these vegetation, they look at it and they think that they have the ability to take it and to get it. And all of a sudden, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala brings His affair. Death comes, Yawm al-Qiyamah comes, and then He makes that produce like straw in the field, as if it wasn't even there yesterday. As if it wasn't even there yesterday. So what happens is, one of us, he loses sight of the fact that he wasn't created for the dunya. He was created for Allah. So he goes through his life day in, day out, lying to get money, making schemes to steal the money of the Muslim, devouring riba, having zina, getting high, because he loses sight of the fact that it isn't about all this. It's about standing before Allah Yawm al-Qiyamah to answer for what you've done. So just like the farmer who has these things, when the hurricane is coming or the storm is coming, it comes without his knowledge. All of a sudden it comes and it's destroyed, and he has nothing to show for his effort. But the weathermen may be able to tell him, there's a storm, prepare yourself. Just like you may be ready to know that you have cancer, that you have some type of terminal disease, so you know you're going to die. This is possible. But still, in spite of that, when Allah Ta'ala's hour is established, when death comes to you, you have no way of knowing when it's going to come. So the smart farmer is the one who plants and he depends on Allah. The one who plants and he always puts some aside for a rainy day. The smart Muslim is the one who plants for a rainy day, for the day that he stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we want to rehearse unto you, ikhwan, a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an incident that's going to happen yawm al-qiyamah, that's going to show the people the reality of this dunya. The Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith that's been narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and collected by Imam Muslim, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yu'ta yawm al-qiyamah bi an'am ahli dunya min ahli al-nar, fayusbighu fi an-nar sabghatan, thumma yuqalu lahu, ya fulan, hal ra'ayta khayran qat? وهل مر بك نعيم قط؟ فيقول والله لا يا رب. ثم يؤتى بأشد الناس بؤسا في الدنيا من أهل الجنة فيسبغ في الجنة صبغة ويقال له يا فلان هل رأيت بؤسا قط؟ هل مر بك شدة قط؟ فيقول لا والله يا رب ما رأيت بؤسا قط وما مر بي شدة قط. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's Prophet ﷺ tells us in this hadith that's in Bukhari and Muslim, in Sahih Muslim, Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would take the kafir who he gave the most money to in this dunya. You know that Hammam, the minister of Fir'aun, had a treasure that Allah ta'ala told us was so great that it took a body of strong men to carry the keys of the treasure. But he may not necessarily be the most wealthiest. I would assume Fir'aun is more wealthier than him. A group of strong men to carry the keys of the treasure. So Allah will bring the person who he gave the most money to in the dunya from the kuffar, and he'll be from the hellfire. And he'll say to him, "Oh so and so, have you seen any good in your life? Has any pleasure ever passed you, come to you?" After being dipped in the hellfire, he'll say, "I swear by Allah, wallahi, I've never seen any good in my life, and no pleasure has ever come to me." And then Allah will bring the Muslim, the mu'min, who had the most difficult time in the dunya. He had the most difficult life that you can think of. Allah Ta'ala will ask him, "Oh so and so, have you had any difficulty, any hardship, any shidda come to you in your life?" After being dipped in the Jannah, he'll say, "Wallahi, I swear by Allah, I never had any hardship or anything." Why? Because the answers will be relative to eternity. When the Muslim is asked and the kafir is asked, "Come labista," he stands before Allah, "Come labista, labista lamha al-basr." His reply will be, "I have remained in the earth, my life was for the blink of an eye." That was the duration of what I stayed down here for. Because now, I'm looking at eternity. So even if you lived 100 years, it's as if you only been here for less than a blink of an eye, as Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَمْرُ سَاعَةٍ إِلَّا كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ أَوْ هُوَ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُ. And verily, the hour is not like anything except the duration of the blink of an eye. The time that it takes you to close your eye and to open it, that's what it is. And he said, "Oh, less than that." So now, akhi, many of us, Allah has blessed you with minds for business. Allah has blessed you with minds where you're good with numbers and calculations. When you sit down and you start to calculate, what's going to happen to you over there? What's going to happen? The intelligent person is the one, he asks himself that question. And then based upon the answer, he said, "Yuhazib nafsahu." He should change his ways. He should stop drinking. He should stop making zina. He should stop making zina with kuffar women. People make zina. How can you make zina with a woman who's a kafir and then stand up for salah? How? How do your nafs, your dhamir, how does it allow you to forget that Allah Ta'ala watches you? That the angels are recording what you do. They see you. Even if we don't see you. Even if the people don't see you. So you wouldn't do it in front of the people because you're shy. And you'll do it in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is a weak iman. So we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to help all of us to realize the haqiqah of the hayat al-dunya. And we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to save us from the evil of our actions and the evil of our own selves. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله السداد والتوفيق. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين الواحد القهار الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم has given us a very important lesson for the one who wants to be successful in this life and the next life. There is no remedy that I see better than what this hadith is talking about. For the one who wants to be successful. Those of you who have been inclined to sport, up until this day while we're Muslims, sports is still a fitna for us. If someone told us that they had tickets to a game between Manchester United and a game between Liverpool or something like this, Yom al-Jumu'ah, there are many of us who would think about should we go to Jumu'ah or the game. If a boxing match comes on, it's difficult for some of us to sit down or to let it go by and say their aura is being exposed or this is haram or something. It's difficult. It's still a fitna. So there's not anyone who has been athletically inclined or into sports except that he wants to be on the winning team. Who wants to start off picking the losing team? And if you play sport like football, your team may be very strong. It's a team game. You may have a sweeper who's weak, a goalie who's weak, and he may be the reason why you lose the game. And you can always use them as an excuse. The goalie was weak. The sweeper was slow. So-and-so missed the ball. But this game that these kuffar are talking about, and this dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described as a game, it's a one-on-one sport. It's a game that's one-on-one. You will not be able to stand before Allah and say, the goalie did it, the sweeper did it. It's between you and the dunya. Your opponent is the dunya. The shaitan. And all he has is the ability to whisper to you. That's all. So if you took the Quran and the Sunnah, and you bid onto them with your molars, as the Prophet ﷺ said, and don't put it in your pocket, where someone can come and steal it from you, put it on your molars. And even though it looks funny to the people that you're walking around with it in your molars, you say, I don't care because I'm trying to get success in the dunya and the akhirah. So your laughter doesn't mean anything to me because I'll laugh at you later. He doesn't feel strange and out of place. Or he doesn't allow it to make him change his behavior because he's going to feel strange and out of place. When he wants to maintain his Islamic identity, they're going to say he's backwards. To have a beard is takhalluf, it's backward. La wallahi, la wallahi. The Prophet on the authority of Zayd ibn Thabit, been collected by Ibn Hibban, the Prophet said, Man kanat ad-dunya hammahu, farraqa Allahu alayhi amrahu, wa ja'ala faqrahu bayna aynayhi. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ وَمَنْ كَانَتَ الْآخِرَ نِيَّتُهُ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَمْرَهُ وَجَعَلَ غِنَاءُهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ
وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة. أتته الدنيا وهي راغمة.
Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever makes the dunya the most important thing in his life, whoever makes the dunya the most important thing in his life, he goes to the Muslims and he says, I have a business plan. Invest your money with me. He knows he's lying. He devours and steals everybody's money. Everyone loses out except him. He says the deal went wrong, but he got benefit from it. He lies to get money. He begs to get money. Plays games to get money. He makes zina. Whoever allows the dunya to be the most important thing in his life, Allah will cause his affairs to be scattered and dispersed and unorganized. He wouldn't have contentment in his heart. He'll always be like the dog trying to catch his own tail. When am I going to get over the hump? All I want to do is break even. No matter what I do or what I try, I can't get over. Allah Ta'ala will cause his affairs to be scattered, disorganized, and he will put poverty right in front of his face. And he's only going to get that which has been written for him. And whoever makes the akhirah his niyyah, his desire, his intention, Allah will bring together for him his affairs. He'll keep his children on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. He'll keep the relations between him and his woman nice, tranquil. He'll put sakina in their house. He can't wait to go home to meet his family, to see his children grow. He can't wait. Allah puts love in his heart for his wife and vice versa. Allah Ta'ala will bring his affairs together. And Allah will put in his heart ghina, will make him content. He may not have a lot of money, but if you knock down his door when he didn't expect you and it was dinner time, he will say, Tafaddal, ahlan wa sahlan, akhi, marhaban bika. And he'll give you what he has, tuna fish and eggs. And wallahi, he'll say, Alhamdulillah, akhi, you visit me for Allah, because he has contentment in his heart. And Allah's Prophet said, the dunya will come to him, in spite even if she didn't want to come to him. Allah will provide for him. Allah will give for him where he doesn't expect. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزِقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسَبْ. Whoever fears Allah, whoever has taqwa, Allah will make a way out for him in every affair. And he will provide for him from where he doesn't expect. So you see this individual, he's rich. The Prophet ﷺ told us, لَيْسَ الْغِينَا أَنْ كَثْرَةَ الْعَرَفِ ولكن الغنى غنى النفس. Being rich and wealthy is not having a lot of possessions. This is what Muhammad said. Being rich is not having a lot of possessions. Being rich is having contentment in your heart. So now this man, who the akhirah is his niyyah, when he wakes up in the morning, soon as he wakes up, he's connected with Allah. His umbilical cord is not between him and the dunya. He's connected with Allah. He says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Praise be to Allah who gave us life after he caused us to die. And to him I'll return. And he says to his wife, Qumi, salli. He doesn't leave his wife there not to make salah. When she wakes up, the first thing she says to her husband, Assalamu alaikum. He makes wudu and he goes to the masjid. And if he goes to the masjid, he salams on the Muslims and he prays to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He glorifies Allah with that which Allah loves, the Quran, sajda, ruku. Then he leaves his house and he goes and he meets the Muslims. When the Muslims see him, they know this man is connected to Allah. This man, his akhirah is his niyyah. So I know my money is safe from him. So I know my honor is safe from him. So I know that this man will not harm me. He won't spill my blood. When he meets me, he says, Assalamu alaikum. Kaifa ahlik? Kaifa antum? When one of a Muslim sneezes around him and says, Alhamdulillah, he says, Ya rahmatullah, hadha huwa al-Islam. From the beginning to the end, habar. From the beginning to the end of your day, Islam is telling you our life is supposed to be higher than the life of a kuffar.
From the beginning to the end, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, Kaita halik, Inshallah, Jazakallahu khairah, Allahu Akbar. His life is not singing his crap on the radio. Getting high. Allahu Musta'an. So I say to you, brother, successful is him who realizes what he's been placed here for. So you're going to leave this masjid. Right away you want to leave this masjid. And if you've noticed, ikhwan, if you've noticed, not one of you up until this point, inshallah, has been thinking about the problems of the dunya. Because you're in the house of Allah, and you're listening to the Quran, and you're all in wudu because you believe in Allah. Everybody's in wudu for Allah. So you have no problems, you feel tranquil. As the Prophet said, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٍ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشَّتْهُمْ الرَّحْمَةُ وَهَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِيمَنْ عِنْدَهُ. No one comes to the house of Allah and they memorize the Quran and they study the Quran and they read the Quran. They talk about the Quran except that the tranquility descends upon them. They forget about the problems that they have. But after a while, you're going to leave this masjid. And you're going to go into this dunya that's dirty and filthy. Wallahi al-azim, Allah Ta'ala loves the believers. And Allah Ta'ala wants good for you. But it's up to you, ikhwan. This game between you and the dunya is one-on-one. And this is why if you come out losing or winning yawm al-qiyamah, as Allah said, فَمَنْ وَجِدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمِدِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ وَجِدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ لَا يُلُمُنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. When you stand before Allah, whoever finds good, then let him praise Allah. Let him thank Allah. Because Allah gave him the tawfiq. And whoever finds other than that, then don't blame anyone but yourself. You're all mature men. Allahumma إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسِكَ أَوْ أَنْزَلْتُهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ أَوْ أَلَّمْتُهُ أَحَدٌ مِنْ خَلْقِكَ أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ أَنْ تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعَ أَنْفُسِنَا وَأَنْ تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ نُورَ صُدُورِنَا. اللهم إنا سمعنا مناد ينادي للإيمان فآمنا به فلا تؤاخذنا بما نسينا وأخطأنا. اللهم باعد بين وبين خطايانا كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم نقنا من خطايانا كما ينقي الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم اغسلنا بماء والبرد والثلج. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبيدك ونحن على أهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نبوء بذنوبنا ونبوء بنعمتك علينا فاغفرنا ذنوبنا إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وهدم الشرك والمشركين. اللهم أنت الله الذي لا إله إلا أنت نعوذ بك من أن نشرك بك نعوذ بك من أن نضل عن السبيل. اللهم ارحمنا. اللهم إنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا لنكونن من الظالمين. اللهم أعطنا خير ما في هذه الدنيا ونحن نعوذ بك يا الله أن نضل في هذه الدنيا. اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا. ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أقم الصلاة يرحمكم الله تعالى.